Acts chapter 8 is where we're going to be. And we're going to talk about a guy named Philip in this message in our series, Prayer and True Community, Prayer and True Community. Nothing happens but by prayer. We can love each other. We can try to love each other. We can try to organize together. We can try to reach out to each other. We can try to build each other up. But we're going to fail, stumble, fall apart if God's not in it. We've got to have the Holy Spirit working in us, through us, to give us the supernatural ability to truly love each other, to truly be the community. There's lots of social groups out there, and a lot of them are really good. But when it comes down to nuts and bolts and things get crazy, they just explode. The people of God, when things get crazy, because of the Holy Spirit, we get better. We get tighter. And it's not because of us, it's because of what God does. So we've talked about the birth of the church and how it was based in prayer. The growth of the church is based in prayer. Last week we talked about the supernatural power of God and how to pray in the name of Jesus. Today we're going to talk about the supernatural guidance. How do we respond to the Lord when He guides us? You heard Elise talk about how she's learning how to hear the voice of God. Well, how do you respond to that? What do you do? And how does all that work? There's a passage in John 16. It's in your notes. Verse 13 to 14, it reads this way. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking what is Mine and making it known to you. I don't know about you. That passage is just exciting to me. Let's slow down a little bit and hear what this says. There is a Spirit of truth, and Jesus has sent Him to us. That's the Holy Spirit that was sent initially in Acts chapter 2. They waited, they prayed, they obeyed. God, according to His promise, sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit filled the church, and He's still filling the church today. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and takes up dwelling in your life. So, if that's going to happen, it says that that Holy Spirit that's in your life will guide you into all truth. You know what that means? That means that you don't have to guess about what's true and false. The Holy Spirit inside you will convict you and help you understand what's true and false. How many know there's lots of lies out in the world today? All kinds of lies. And sometimes you go, "What? I don't even know what to believe. What political leader do I believe? What governor do I believe? What council do I believe? Who do I believe? I don't know." Well, the Spirit knows, and He's in us, and He will guide us into all truth. Also says that He's not going to speak on His own, but what the Father says, just like Jesus. And it says that He will tell you what is to come. Isn't that awesome? He's going to tell us things that have not yet occurred. When we pray and when we seek the Lord, the Holy Spirit takes all the guesswork out of life. Shall I move? Shall I change jobs? Shall I make this decision? Shall I make that decision? Shall I make this expenditure? Where should I go? God will lead you. He will tell you what is to come. Not only in your daily life, but He'll remind you of the things that are going to come, even on a global scale. And He gives us wisdom and understanding and discernment. And He gives that to us together as we pray. And it says, He's going to take from Me what is Mine, make it known to you, bringing glory to the Father. Whatever Jesus had, and look at Jesus. Jesus, the greatest lover, the greatest man of peace, the greatest man of faithfulness, the greatest man of joy. All that belongs to Jesus. And it says that He's going to take, the Holy Spirit will take that which belongs to Jesus, and He's going to bring it to us. That's what makes true community. Isn't that powerful? That's what's happening. And they revealed that this was true by their behavior. We talked a couple of weeks ago when Peter and John, or actually last week, when Peter and John went to the gate and they saw the crippled man and they just said, "In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And he did. And that started this major conflict between the religious powers and this new growing church. Well, it got so bad at one point that they told Peter and John and the rest of the apostles, "Stop teaching this stuff or we're going to put you in jail, we're going to flog you." And they did. They beat these men. They beat them with whips. And you know what the church did? They didn't say, oh God, we hate this. It's terrible. Take it away from us. They prayed instead in Acts chapter 4. God, we already knew this kind of thing was going to happen because it's what you told us. Instead, give us more boldness and more courage to keep preaching. That's a different prayer. Not change my circumstances, change me. Don't take away the struggle. Give me the strength to walk through the struggle. Because that's when people see that there's something real about this Holy Spirit and this power. So they did that, and they continued to do that. They didn't just bow their head, close their eyes, fold their hands like some people think prayer is. It was a constant walking with Jesus. Constant communion, constant connection with God. Like Peter and John, they didn't stop and pray when the beggar man said, give me money. They just said, give me money. I don't have any money, but I do have something you need. And that's the power to get up and walk in the name of Jesus. So we come to this next portion in Acts chapter 8. I want to talk about this guy named Philip. Philip shows up for one chapter. And then we don't know what happened to him after that. This is about 3 to 6 years, depending on scholarship, from the time when Jesus ascended and when the church was birthed. So things have been moving along, but you can tell by the story that we're going to look at today that the power of God through the Holy Spirit had not waned. He was still producing so much awesome fruit. First point I want to tell you is this. Your identity doesn't change no matter the circumstances. What were the circumstances? We already talked about that there had been some persecution, flogging, jailing. Well, it got worse. It got worse. A man named Stephen, one of the deacons, was stoned because of the truth he told. And when he was stoned to death, there was a young man named Saul, a Pharisee, who was giving approval to the murder of this man, thinking it was a righteous thing to do. Well, after that, in Acts chapter 8, it says that Paul, or Saul, was emboldened, and Saul would become Paul in just a couple of chapters. But he got emboldened, and he began to go with all the rest of his religious leaders, go house to house, dragging men, dragging women out of their homes and putting them in prison if they were Christians. And this sparked lots of approval from those who were against the church. Now realize that about this time now, there's thousands of Christians, 10,000, 15,000 or more. Who knows how many there were, but thousands upon thousands of Christians. The scripture says in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it says, but they all scattered except for the apostles. And that's how we know that this Philip isn't Philip the disciple, the apostle. It said the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, everybody else scattered. But you think, oh, did they run away because they were afraid? Did they run away because, you know, they didn't want to die? We don't really know why they ran away. We know that though God's plan is always intact. And as they scattered and kept preaching. So the gospel spread like wildfire. When the enemy wanted to do harm to the church, he was actually sparking more fires around the world as the church spread. Because no matter what happens, your identity doesn't change. They left Jerusalem, but they kept on preaching. It says, those who were scattered, verse chapter 4, wherever they went, preached the gospel. And Philip went to a town or a city in Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. Your location doesn't change your purpose. Your job doesn't change your purpose. Your neighborhood doesn't change your purpose. Your school doesn't change your purpose. You are a Christian. You are a child of God. God has put his name on you. So no matter where you are, you wear that name. Doesn't matter if it's hard. Doesn't matter if it's easy. Doesn't matter if it's smooth. Doesn't matter if it's rough. Doesn't matter if you make a lot of money or a little money. You're a Christian. And therefore, you carry his name. Think what it would be like. It's crazy times. Think if the persecution came in Silicon Valley and suddenly we can't fellowship together anymore. We love each other, but now we can't do that and we scatter. And some of you go up the peninsula. Some of you go down in the San Joaquin Valley. Some of you go Northern California. Some of you go Southern California. Some of you go to other states. Some of you go to other nations. We go, oh, we miss each other. But that doesn't mean we're different than what we've always been. in Christ. And that's what happened to those people. Philip went down to Samaria. I don't know why he chose Samaria. If I'm Philip, I'm going somewhere other than Samaria. Because Samaria was difficult. They hated the Jews and they hated Christians. Now, Philip was a Gentile. Maybe they hated him less. But the Samaritans, if you don't realize the history of this, they lived just north of the city of Jerusalem, and they're called Samaritans, and this traces back 800 years to when the Assyrian nation came and they overtook the Israelites 800 years before Jesus came on the scene, and they took most of them captive back to Assyria. Some of them, however, they left behind and they stayed in Jerusalem. Well, those that stayed behind, some of the Assyrians also stayed behind. They began to intermarry. And the offspring of that intermarriage between Jew and Gentile, Jew and Assyrian, those offspring were the Samaritans. They had half Gentile, half Jew. So therefore, they weren't all Jew, they weren't all Gentile. And so you had both the Gentiles and the Jews didn't like them because they weren't pure in their minds. And they didn't like those people either. So they were kind of just against everybody. Remember back in John chapter 4 when Jesus went and talked to the woman at the well? That was a Samaritan lady in Samaria. The disciples were going a different route. Jesus went right into the heart. Philip had the same heart. He went in there and he began to preach. And as he began to preach, people started believing in Jesus. And the miracles happened and the preaching was powerful. And as they believed in Jesus, Peter and John went there to verify what was going on. And it was awesome and it was amazing. And the whole place changed. The fact of the matter is this. Wherever they went, that's the key phrase. Chapter 4, verse 8, the key phrase, wherever they went. Think about your wherever. Where's your wherever? The store? Costco? The bank? Nobody goes to the bank anymore. I think I'm the only one that goes to the bank anymore. Everybody does it online. Your neighborhood, your school, your workplace, your social groups, wherever. Your wherever is wherever. Wherever you go, you represent Jesus. Wherever you go, and it doesn't matter the circumstances. What if you live somewhere else? Doesn't matter. What if you change states? Doesn't matter. Wherever you go, your identity doesn't change. So that was the first lesson from Philip. Remember that. Every day this week, no matter where you are, you represent him. Number two, when you hear from the Lord, don't hesitate, but start out. Well, after Philip ministered in Samaria, apparently God was finished with him there. And so it says in the middle of the chapter that an angel of the Lord came and gave Philip some instructions. And he said this, or it says this in verse 26 and 27. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he set out. When you're in constant contact with God, God will drop some bombs on you. He'll drop some words in your heart. He'll drop communication. He'll tell you stuff. And sometimes when he tells you stuff, you're like, wait, did I hear that right? Have you ever had God say something to you and you're not quite sure it's God? You're not quite sure if it's you or him? And you start to discern whether it's you or him by how hard it is. If it's too hard, that can't be God. If it's too uncomfortable, that can't be God. If it's going to cost me too much, that can't be God. And la, 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 I don't want to hear that. I'm going to find a different voice. Not Philip. Not Philip. The angel said, go south to the desert road. And so he started out. Pretty simple. Go here. Okay. I'm in. Now, the desert road is the road from Jerusalem that goes along the coast and it veers east and it connects with the main thoroughfare from Africa to the nation of Israel and all the Middle East. It was like a major, massive highway. Think like Interstate 5 or some major highway. And we've heard a lot about Gaza in the news today. Same place. Same place. It's desert. That's why they call it the desert road. That's going to come in handy to remember that in just a moment. So, if I'm Philip, I'm in Samaria, things are going good, things are cranking, people are getting saved, people are coming to Jesus, and they got momentum going, and God says, yeah, but I want you to go somewhere else. And it says that, and Philip started out. What I find fascinating about this is that it doesn't say he asked any questions. Because all God told him, kind of like Abraham back in the Old Testament, he just said, Philip, go down the road. Well, why? How many would ask that question? I would. What am I going to do? Who'd ask that question? I would. How far should I go? I'd ask that. How much is it going to cost? Where's my ultimate destination? Wouldn't you ask those questions? But it just says Philip started out. I don't know what I'm going to do down on this road. I don't know how far to go. Am I supposed to go all the way down to Egypt? Am I supposed to go? I don't know. I don't know any of that. All I know is God said go, and I'm going to go. Have you ever had one of those times in your life? When you're not quite sure what it's going to look like in the long run, but you know God spoke to you, and so as you go, then you start understanding. I've had those moments in my life. Sandra, my story is not quite the same as Phillips. Phillips is a bit more dramatic than ours. But I can tell you this, we moved to Cupertino and we were absolutely 100% God-led to this community. But we had no idea there was a church here. We had no idea they'd been praying for months for a new youth pastor and music pastor. We had no idea that we'd become the senior pastor years later. We had no idea what the future was looking like. All we knew is that we're supposed to come here and that God opened the way. A lot of you have heard the story. And you'll get more of these kind of stories if you take the membership class. There's a plug for membership. You get to hear all the good stories. But there was a moment in time when we held a note on a very large amount of money, $300,000 worth of money, and God said, let it go. And we're like, that can't be God. That can't be right. Because we didn't have much money, and we were so counting on getting that money. God said, no, give it to him. We had no idea that when we released that money, that God would pour in blessing and finance like we could never believe. Sometimes God doesn't give you the answers to all your questions, does he? And I think this, I don't know if this is right. I think if God explained everything and I knew what the ultimate destination would be like, I'd probably be either too afraid or too resistant to go. And so God just says, no, take one step. Okay, I can obey that far. Take another step. I can have faith for that. Take another step. I can have faith for that. And pretty soon, step after step after step after step, you've gone miles. And God has taken you on journeys. And he's taken you on just experiences and powerful things that will occur. God said, Philip, go down the desert road. And Philip set out. Key phrase now. Key phrase. Philip set out. Where are you setting out today? Maybe God's not told you to leave your place. He's not told you to pick up and go. I'm not preaching for you to pick up and go. What I am saying is that if God says, you go. If God says, you move. And that's how this all works. Number three, the destination is not always the destination. What happens on the way is why you're on the way. Because you see, God didn't give Philip a destination because the destination wasn't a place. God didn't say go a certain distance because the distance wasn't the destination. Well, what was the destination? It says, so Philip started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Sometimes your destination isn't the destination. Sometimes it's what you do on the way is the destination. I learned this early on when I used to have to take my kids everywhere in the car. And I didn't always really realize the destination was what was going on in the car instead of where we were actually going. And I didn't really catch all of it until they got their driver's licenses. And then I realized we don't get to talk that much anymore. How come I feel a little disconnected? Because we're not riding together anymore. Sometimes we miss the destination that's the true destination because we think the destination is a place. We think it's a place to go. We think it's an address. We think it's a city. We think it's a job. We think it's whatever it is, we think that place is the destination. When God is saying, that's not it. The destination is what's on the way. That's what's going on. And that's what's happening. And what we know is that God didn't speak to Philip again until he ran into this guy. And then he spoke. Well, how long did he travel down the road? I don't know. I know the Ethiopian eunuch was headed to Ethiopia. down below Egypt. That's a long trip. I don't know how long he traveled with him. What I know is that Philip kept going until God said, this is the man I want you to talk to. What, aren't I going somewhere? No, no, he is your somewhere. That guy right there, that's your somewhere. It says, scripture said that God said, go stay near that chariot. Philip was pretty aggressive. He ran up to the chariot. I like that attitude. A little more aggressive than the spirit was in Philip's mind, but when he heard God's voice, he said, I'm going to run up to that guy. How long did he walk? I don't know. But have you realized that sometimes God's delays in your life aren't because you did anything wrong? God's delays is because he's waiting for somebody else to cross your path. Sometimes God says, wait, and we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and nothing happens, and nothing happens, and nothing happens, and we get frustrated, and we get irritated, and we think, what did I do wrong? What's going on, God? Because it's me, it's me, it's me. And God says, well, it's really not you at all. It's really that I'm orchestrating something, and your impatience is causing you to lose sight that I'm doing something over here, and at the right time, I'm going to put it together. Because the Ethiopian eunuch was on his way, Philip was on a total different way, and in the right time, he put them together. Pastor Steve and I, we've experienced this 4 years ago when we were looking for a children's pastor. And we looked for a year. We interviewed, and we interviewed, and we interviewed, and we interviewed. I think we interviewed 7 people. And a couple of them, we thought, oh, praise God, this is our person. We know this is our person. And then they'd come back and say, oh, no, we're not coming. What? We get just kind of discouraged, like, wow. But we check ourselves, and as God is my witness, we would look at each other and say, well, God knows. He knows what he's doing. It was a year-long process until another person answered our advertisement, and we found out Pastor Angela's story. And what we didn't know is that God was doing a whole different set of things in her life. God needed to do some things in her life so that at the right time for her, we could intersect. And then, of course, now 4 years later, we've just had the wonderful experience of having this pastor in our midst. Sometimes it's not about you. Just stay faithful. Set out and keep going until the Lord stops you. Well, this man is an Ethiopian eunuch. What does that all mean? He is like the CFO of Ethiopia. A eunuch is a person who's been castrated for the purpose of strict focus on his task. Sometimes there were eunuchs in the queen's harem, and they would make them eunuchs so that there would be no threat with the ladies that they were caring for, kind of like bodyguards or attendants. But this guy was a eunuch with his focus on the treasury of Queen Candace of Ethiopia. Now, Candace wasn't her name. That's just a word for queen or holy woman if you are from Ethiopia. So all of the queens were named Candace. And so he is that guy. He is like way up there. He's like the man handling all the money in the entire nation. And God says, I want you to go, Philip, so you can run into this guy. Go stand by the chariot. How would you feel if there's this massive block-long stretch limo that cruises down Stevens Creek Boulevard or somewhere, and God says, I want you to go stand by that limo because there's a celebrity in there and I want you to talk to him. I don't know if I can do that. Who am I? What am I supposed to do? I'm not sure. I don't know what to do. Not Philip. He ran over there. And it wasn't just probably one chariot. It was probably a caravan. This guy's a valuable guy. But he was a God seeker. That he'd come from Jerusalem where he was worshiping. How many know that when there's a person who's worshiping, he may not even know what he's doing? He just knew that he wanted God. And clearly he didn't know, because as Philip ran up there, this guy's reading Isaiah 53. What better chapter in the Old Testament to read than Isaiah 53 when you want to know about Jesus? Some of that chapter reads this way. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. We each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted. He did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, And as a sheep before his shearers were silent, so he did not open his mouth. And it goes on to say more and more and more about Jesus. This man was reading this, and he didn't know what he was reading. So God brought Philip. Sometimes your destination isn't a place, it's a person. Philip's destination was this man. I mentioned this dream a few times for the sake of those that are newer with us. I don't dream a lot, and the only time I really dream is when I've had too much food the night before. Too much steak, too much something. But every now and then God will drop a dream, and I had a dream a number of years ago that changed my life. And it was at a time when I was really frustrated with just like, God, I've been doing this a long time. Is it time? Are you going to release me? Just struggling with the Lord. And that night, God gave me, and besides that, it was hard. Our church has changed over a lot. I've been here 40 years almost. And even in numbers for you, some of you are first church, some of you are second church, third church, fourth church. We're on fifth church right now in my mind. Because like Renee, she's first church. Anna Ferneri, she's first church. They've been here since the 80s. Thompson's first church. Then there was a new batch in the 90s, and then a new batch in the 2000s, and then a new batch. And now, those of you that have come recently, you're fifth church. And to tell you the truth, it was kind of hard with people transitioning to give my heart to the next church. Oh, I got to start all over again with this new batch. I like the old batch. I'll probably like the new batch, but it's just hard work getting to know people. You kind of get it, don't you? You have new neighbors or new workmates or new something. It's hard work. So anyway, this one night I had a dream and I was on a train. And I'm riding on the train and we're in a car together, one of the train cars, and we're just laughing. We're having a ball. We're telling jokes. And it's like, this is great. I don't care where we're going. I just love these people. And it's just like close and it's great and it's wonderful. And then the train comes to a train stop. And on that train stop, a bunch of the people that we were loving so much got off the train. It's like, oh, can't you stay and just go with us? Well, no, this is my stop. I got to get off now. But then a whole bunch of people came on too. I'm like, well, okay, we got new people. They were wonderful also. So it repeated, like, oh, this is great. We love this group with the new people coming in, some of the old ones, and it's fun, and we're laughing, and then another train stop. And some got off, and some got on. And this repeats itself over and over and over and over till you get to the very end of the line. Now it's time for everybody to get off. And everybody gets off the train, and everybody goes their ways. We hug, and we say goodbye. Oh, it was so much fun being with you. And everybody leaves except for me. And I get in line, go to the kiosk, buy another ticket, and get back on the train and head back the other way with a whole bunch of new people. And God was telling me so vividly, the destination isn't your destination. The people are your destination. And right then and there, he just relieved me of all the desire to, oh, I think I'm done. And all the desire of, oh, I don't want to put forth the effort. Now I've got more energy to put forth the effort than ever, because every new person that comes into Abundant Life is the destination. You are the destination. And church, we each other are the destination. Maybe some of you will get off on a stop at some point, and we'll love you and bless you. And then you'll go to a new destination and you'll love and bless those people, because you don't change your identity when you change your place. You just set out where God tells you to set out. And realize that it's the people that are the destination. So number four, God prepared, or be prepared for the Holy Spirit moments in your life. So Philip runs up to this man who's reading Isaiah chapter 53. And he stands there and he asks a simple question. Do you know what you're reading? And the man says, well, how can I know unless somebody explains it to me? And the Holy Spirit is going, ding, 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 ding. This is why I sent you. And so the scripture says that, and Philip explained to the man everything he was reading. And starting with that passage, Isaiah 53, he explained everything about Jesus. And in that time, this man came to Christ. A searching heart, God will always find him. How did Philip know what to say? Church, this is why we always, 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 always push you, prod you, nag you. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Pray, 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 pray. Because then you're prepared when God says for you to set out, and he says there's a destination, that's a person, and that person has questions, you can then say, I know how to answer that. I know how to give you that. I know how to show you. I know how to lead you. I know how to guide you. And then if we get stuck, Jesus already promised us that the Holy Spirit would give us words to say. But he gives us words to say, sometimes miraculous, but most of the time it's bringing recall. It's bringing understanding. It's bringing the ability to grab what you've learned to the present situation. Church, read your Bible. Pray. Go to Bible studies. Go to small groups. Come to Knowing Rediscovered. Come and study and build up, because there's going to be a time when God says, I want you to set out. And you're my child. You're my messenger. You're my apostle. I want you to set out, and your destination is a person. When you meet that person's going to have some questions, and I want to connect them with someone that can help them on their way. And don't mess it up. Know your theology. Know your Bible. And that time's going to come. And stay with the person. Number five, when the Holy Spirit leads you, stay until he leads you elsewhere. It says, as they traveled along the road, key phrase, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, why shouldn't I be baptized? So Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went away rejoicing. As they traveled along, they didn't just stay there. Philip ran up to the chariot. Apparently they were done resting. Philip got in the chariot with the guy. I mean, what a scene. Major player in Ethiopia. And this guy understands the gospel as Philip explained it to him. And as they traveled along, how long did they travel along? I don't know. Was it hours? Was it days? I don't know. We can't assume anything about this passage. It just simply says, as they traveled along. You know what we do sometimes, church? We want to just slap a witness on somebody and say, done my job. You haven't even started yet. Because we're not after conversions. God's after transformations. It's one thing to convert somebody. Oh yeah, they prayed the prayer. Awesome, see ya. That's not parenting. That's not discipling. As they traveled on, Philip stayed there with this guy. He stood right by him. He stayed with him until God said something different. I wonder how many of us here would be who we are today if the others didn't stay along with each other. I'm so grateful for our church staff. There are years and years. There's a couple hundred years worth of staff. 20 years, 25 years, 10 years and more. I could name names, but to save time, I'll spare them, but they know. And not everybody started out as awesome as they are now. Because God's after transformation, and transformation takes some time. And as we pray, and as we seek God, and as we stay together so that the transformation can take place, so that real change can take place. It says, and they saw some water. I don't know what kind of water it was, but what I know is they're on the desert road. How nice can the water be if you're on the desert road? It doesn't say it was a nice oasis with some palm trees and nice stuff. It just says they saw water. And the man said, can I get baptized? Philip said, yes, you can. Well, let me go get the apostles. Let me go get somebody else to baptize you. If you're into one of our baptism services, this is exactly why a lot of the times I don't do the baptizing. It wasn't me that traveled along with the person that's getting baptized. So we let the person who's traveled along with them stand in the water with them. That makes a lot more sense than let's go get the professional, be in the water with them. And they paused by the water. Maybe this water was mucky. Maybe it was kind of a mud hole. What kind of water is there in the desert? You know that when you're walking with someone, does it get mucky? When you travel along with someone, does it get a little bit gunky, hard, messy? Well, of course. That's what happens when you walk in relationship with somebody. But Philip said, let's do this. And they got into the water together because he traveled along with this man. So no matter where you are, you wear the name Jesus and it doesn't change your identity. So you go out and you preach. You live the gospel. When the Lord speaks to you, you set out. And you set out realizing that people are your destination. And you're going to prepare yourself by understanding God's word so that when the time comes, you'll have the right thing to say and you'll know the truth that can set a person free. And you're not just going to ditch them and say, done my job, little notch in my belt. You're going to stay with them until they've gotten to a place where they're going to be safe. It says that when Philip and the man came up out of the water, boom, Philip was gone. What a weird scene. If I'm the eunuch, I'm freaking out. But it doesn't say that. It says when Philip was boom and he disappeared, it says the eunuch rejoiced. I mean, this guy really gets it. And that's what the Holy Spirit is saying. Philip, I don't need you to go all the way down to Ethiopia. That's a long trip. All I need you to do is obey me, set out, even though you don't know where you're going. You're going to have an intersection with the CFO of the nation of Ethiopia. He's going to get explained to him the gospel. He's going to receive the gospel. He's going to come out of the water. You're going to get taken up, taken somewhere else. He's going to keep going into Ethiopia, and the gospel will be preached in the first continent, except for Asia, in the world. Right there. And that's how the gospel spreads, by one person just taking that little step of obedience. You don't know what God's going to do with your little step of obedience. You don't know. You may never know, but God knows. So you do it. It says he was taken away, and he got dropped in a place he didn't even plan on going to. And that's our last point here. Your life is not your own. You've been saved by grace just to serve the Master. It says that Philip was taken up and he appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Samaria. The process repeats. Philip gets out of the water, and I'm sure he was going to celebrate with the eunuch. I'm sure he's going to high five, go, oh, now let me show you what you're supposed to do. Let me show you how to read the scripture. Let me counsel you and teach you. God, the eunuch was all right. The Holy Spirit had him. Boom, he gets out of the water. Suddenly, he's in another town. He's somewhere else, kind of like some weird sci-fi time travel movie. Like, where am I right now? He's in Azotus. Just so you know, Azotus is the same city you read about in the Old Testament that's called Ashdod. Man, what's up with Ashdod? Well, remember, it's one of five Philistine strongholds. One of the cities that when the promised land, or when the Israelites came into the promised land, Ashdod was one of the places that it says they were such a stronghold that the nation of Israel could not push them out. It's also the same place that because it was a stronghold, they defeated the Israelites on one occasion. They captured the Ark of the Covenant. They brought the Ark, set up the Ark next to their god, Dagon, and over the night, Dagon fell over in the presence of the Ark. And then the people came into there and they go, oh, our God fell over. We better help him up. So they help up their God, put him back up on the pedestal, dust him off, say, okay, now our God's all safe now. And the next morning he fell over again. Head's broken off, arms are broken off. And they started breaking out in tumors. And about that time they said, get this ark away from us. That's the place Philip ends up in. Do you think they needed the gospel? That stronghold? That place of enemy power. Now, of course, hundreds of years have passed, but God had a reason that he dropped them off in Azotus. God had a reason, because there's history there like there's history everywhere. How many know that God's not going to always invite you to go to a place that's all that comfortable? But Philip's already been there. He went to Samaria. He confronts the eunuch. Now God says, this guy's trustworthy. I'm going to put him in yet another spot that needs powerful change. When God puts you somewhere and you realize your life is not your own, but you just say yes to the Lord, when you say yes to him, he may put you in hard places. But if he puts you in a hard place, it's not to break you. He puts you there because he knows you're the servant that can bring peace and love and joy into that hard place. You're not a victim. You're power. Because you get the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And it says that, and Philip went there, or he was taken there, and that he preached there, and he began to preach all up the coast. Ashdod's right on the coast. All up the coast, through what's now Tel Aviv, on past that, up to Caesarea, preaching all the way he was going. That's what a Christian does. And that happened through the abiding in Christ together with the family. And everywhere Philip went, a new little family sprouted up. Everywhere. Because no matter where you are, you're a Christ follower. You bear the name. When God says set out, you set out. Your destination is not a place. Your destination is not a big 401c3, or not a 401, a 401k. Your destination is not a retirement home. Your destination is not lots of retirement vacations. Your destination, like the bumper sticker, is not to have the most toys and think you win. Your destination is people. And when you go, be prepared. Study now for the moment when God's going to use you. And when he uses you, stay with that person until God's ready to move you along. And you do all that because you realize God's, your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. There's going to be a day when we see Jesus face to face, and then we'll know our destination. But we'll be in that place with all of those that we brought along with us. Why pray? Why be filled with the Spirit so we could be like Philip? Philip disappears. We never see him again in the Bible. We don't know what happens to this guy. But this is all we need to know, because this is a blueprint for our life. When you're guided by the Spirit, listen to the Spirit, because Acts has 28 chapters, but we're living in the 29th. So right now, are we ready to be used like Philip was used? Are we willing to say, God, I bear your name. I'm a Christian. I decided one day to accept you as my Savior. And now I go to a great church, people that love each other, people that love me, people that I love. And I'm constantly listening to your voice. And when you say set out, I'll set out. I won't set out before you say set out. But when you say, I'll go. And I won't ask questions. I won't ask why. Instead of asking why, God rarely answers that question. But I'll ask, Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Like Philip, God might say, I want you to get on this road. I want you to go next door. I want you to take that person out for coffee that has the cube next to yours at work. I want you to talk to this relative. Who knows what God will ask you to set out to do? But I know this, he's always got a purpose for us. He's always going to use us. And don't worry about all the questions, because that person is your destination. Are you living that way today? Are you disciplining yourself every day so that you're ready when the time comes? Ready to stay with people? And we get it. We know that sometimes people can be difficult. As soon as I say people can be difficult, I need a mirror right now. Because I know I can be difficult. We all can be difficult. And sometimes you just got to get out, get down in the mud with folks. Okay, that's where transformation happens. My invitation this morning is, do you want to be that kind of a Christian? I know I do. I'm not interested in Christianity being a spectator sport. That really doesn't exist. But I want to be in the game, like Philip. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you're touching every heart right now, speaking to every mind right now. God, let the story of Philip be our conviction. To walk like he did, to listen like he did, even when persecution came, he went to a different place, but he didn't change. He obeyed you immediately, and a whole new nation got to hear the gospel through a man Peter or Philip had never met. But you knew how to orchestrate, how to spread the gospel. Lord, help us to be those kind of people today. Help us, Lord, not to fight you. What would have happened if Philip fought you and refused to go? Well, I suppose you would have used somebody else, but Philip would have missed out on the blessing. We don't want to miss out on the blessing, Lord. Help us today. Help us today, Father, to live that way. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Some of you might be like the eunuch this morning. Maybe you've come to church, you don't quite understand everything. You don't quite get the songs, or even today as I'm talking to you, maybe like, I don't quite understand what he's saying. Like the eunuch. Do you know what you're reading? I don't know, unless somebody explains it to me. The Bible says that the things of God are foolishness to those that don't know him. So maybe today is your day when you say, I want to know him. I want to know him. And when you do, the Holy Spirit will come into your life and he will guide you into all truth. And he helps you to understand. And it's as simple as surrendering your life to Jesus right now. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'd like to ask if there's anyone this morning that would like to do that. I may not understand everything, but I know one thing. I want him. I want Jesus. Just put up your hand. Wait till I see it. Put it back down. It's not that I can see it, just to acknowledge. Anybody this morning say, I want Jesus today. Take a moment. Don't be afraid. All right, seeing no hands this morning, praise God that we're all in the family. That's my hope at least. So for the rest of us, you know, the Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. See that? I apologize for missing that. And for that one that raised their hands, in a few minutes we're going to go into prayer. And there'll be some elders, some leaders at each side of the front of the sanctuary. And if you raised your hand today, I invite you to come and speak to one of them, and they're going to guide you on what to do next. They'll pray with you. For those others of us, maybe we need just some conviction from Philip's life. There's been some challenges posed to us today that we want to make a change. We're going to take some moments now and just pray on our own in here. On the screens will be some helpful instructions on how to kind of process your thoughts going forward. But let's take some time to pray and ask God what he wants us to know, how he wants us to change as a result of what we heard today. If you need to step out, pick up kids, or I know the barbecue's waiting, feel free as you're kind of done praying to do that. Otherwise, stay as long as you like. Let's make sure that we hear from God today. And when you hear from God, it'll change your life. So come pray with one of the leaders, pray as you like, and then we'll go out and enjoy some fellowship. Amen. Pastor Sean?
Amen. I'm just going to continue to play, and as the elders come, I just encourage you to allow yourself time. If you're able, just to hear from the Lord. I'll just continue to play and give you just space to hear. We do ask that, though, if you would like to head up and you're done, you feel like you've heard from the Lord, we just ask if you carry your conversation on outside. a singing melody. Grace is found just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands, singing majesty, majesty. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty, we're singing majesty, majesty. Grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in your hands, majesty, majesty. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty, God, I pray that we would remain we would be moved from a place, God, of where we are in control of our own lives, God, that you would begin to lead us and guide us as we release our control over it and give it to you. I pray, Father, that right now, as you speak to us, Lord, that we'd be obedient, Lord, to the word that we receive, knowing that we are unchanged wherever you might lead us. We thank you, Lord. We are privileged to hear your voice. I pray, Father, that we would seek it out each day, each moment. Holy Spirit, lead and guide us, we pray. As we begin to go out and love those around us, this body, this community, and then this Silicon Valley, we pray in your name. Amen.